Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
And I'm Richard Munchkin.
Our guest today is Anthony Curtis, publisher of Huntington Press and the Las Vegas Advisor, and all-around knowledgeable guy about all things gambling. Anthony Curtis, welcome back to Gambling with an Edge.
Good to be here. Thanks.
One of the things we'd like to talk about was an article in The Advocate out of Baton Rouge, which is in Louisiana, about casinos in Louisiana can no longer bar advantage players, but they're still doing it. So what was that all about, Anthony?
I don't know. I came across this and I was surprised to read it, that literally a law has been passed apparently in Louisiana that precludes casinos from taking action, probably of all sorts of kinds, against what they call skilled players. They didn't use the, I don't know if they used, maybe once in the whole article, did they use advantage player or AP? I don't think they used that. I think they called it skilled players, with the idea being that the casinos could not bar you. The casinos, I think, could not take counteractions that were excessive, I think, against players that they considered skilled. Now, the weird thing about it, the really weird thing about the article was it was really more about the fact that nobody was enforcing it. That article went on to say that there had been some complaints to the police, some complaints to the commission down there, and nobody was willing to take any action. So I found it interesting on a couple of levels, and I'm only speaking, I don't have any inside knowledge on this, I'm only speaking from having read that same article you did, but I found it interesting that this law was passed and I'd never heard of it. And I don't know about you guys if you'd heard of it.
No, I had. There was discussion about it on some of the blackjack boards, so I knew about it when it was happening. And I'm getting a lot of reports of people still being thrown out, sometimes really, forcefully handcuffing people. A lot of the people don't know about the law. In the casinos, they just don't know that it's the law, definitely the security guards and things like that. And B, they don't care. Once they're told, look, this is the law, they've been shown the law, and their attitude is, screw you, do something about it.
That's what's really interesting about this. First of all, that they would even put that on the books. I mean, nobody...
Well, Missouri did it, right?
Did they? Missouri?
Yeah, Missouri isn't allowed to bar you for counting cards. Or
I didn't know that. I know Atlantic City, has their situation. You're not supposed to be barred there. But, I mean, again, people, the counteractions they take are effectively the same thing. They make it so you can't play. I didn't realize Missouri had something. But, I mean, you just don't see that very often. So, okay, so there's two states. This makes three states out of the 30-some or so that have, legalized gambling. So that's odd for one thing. Second, that it would be so blatant that they wouldn't care. And that was made real evident in the article where they interviewed two or three players who said it's just a sham. There's no such thing. So why bother, right? That's what the one guy says at the end. Why make a law?
So now somebody has to sue. And people are. I believe that lawsuits have already started. So, hopefully they'll get spanked hard because, they're just flouting the law. And
well, then again, that's Louisiana. And
No
offense, Louisianans out there. I love the state, but I mean, it's always been a very strange political state. So maybe there was a reason for having that on the books. I just found it interesting all the way around.
Yeah, well, it probably was, someone in the legislature who got introduced to advantage gambling in some way and went, wait a minute, this is ridiculous.
Let's do this. And everyone else said, no, we don't care. So I guess don't go running down there and moving your bets from 10 to 10,000, I guess,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And not currently, anyway, yeah.
You think they might notice that?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is coming out early in December. Las Vegas typically is a ghost town early in December, other than the rodeo. And then after the rodeo, it's a ghost town until Christmas Eve, and then it just picks up and goes boom. So are casinos, how are they attracting gamblers to come to their ghost town?
Well, first of all, it's a little different at beginning last year. It's just the timing is a little bit different. The rodeo used to start on like the first or second or third, whenever, however the calendar fell. And last year they moved it back a week. So it started on, I believe, the 8th last year. Same thing this year. They stayed. So the first week again in December is going to be Nothingsville around here. Then there'll be the rodeo for 2 weeks, and then there's sort of a truncated time because of the extension between the rodeo and Christmas, and that's what we call the golden week here. That's when we do all our room rate samples and that sort of thing. As interesting as it sounds, they don't do specifically, meaning the casinos, don't really do a lot of special promotions aside from room rates. All the years that I've been tracking this, I've always thought, man, you know, December, there's going to be deals galore. And there are. I mean, there are, but it's not that much different from other times. But what's really different is the room rates. The room rates just plunge, except for that, you know, 9 days during the rodeo or 9 or 10 days. They'll go back up a little bit. But the first week in December and then the period between about the 17th and the 24th, we found, I think, counting the three in Prim, we found 52 casinos with base rates under $40.
Yeah, but it's easy for them to do that now with the resort fees and all of that crap, right? Yeah. I mean, so that $40 room on the Strip is what, still $100?
Not really, though. You're right. I mean, what you're saying, and we always make that point in LVA when we do this, you know, wow, look at this, look at all the room rates. But we go, but, you know, the resort fees in a lot of cases are as much or more. But when you put it all together and you take the best of them, some of these places, the resort fees are very low, like $12, $14, that sort of thing, if you're staying off the Strip. And the lowest we found on a rate plus resort fee was still $33, including the resort fee.
And that was El Cortez?
I think it was El Cortez. Yes, it was El Cortez. Got a list of them here. I mean, I'll look them up somewhere. But I mean, even some of the big ones that are like on the Strip, when you're talking about a Harrah's or a Flamingo or something like that, so they're tacking on 30 some dollar resort fees to 30 some dollar rates, and you're still looking at a rate all inclusive before tax of under $70 on the Strip. So, you know, it's still a very where are you going to get in a big city, where are you going to get a room for under $70? You really don't find that, let alone on the Las Vegas Strip. So even though the resort fees are evil and even though people hate them like crazy, when you look at the bottom line, some of these room deals are really, really good in December.
Now, I started playing video poker in a little bit in 93. And at that time, you were playing at Anthony. And I always used to hear that you were never dealt a royal flush as long as you had played. There are rumors going around that you did indeed get a dealt royal flush, but there's some kind of weird story behind it. So since the cat's out of the bag, Anthony, what happened?
Okay, well, let's go. Let's take a step back first to the time when you first met me and I was playing video poker. I mean, this game, video poker, is an evil game. Do you agree? It's an evil, evil game.
This evil game has been very good to me.
Yes, I know. And when I met you, I was in the middle of a royal flush drought. All right, now, we're not talking about dealt royal flushes, but this is true. This is honest. And I promise I am not embellishing this. I didn't play as much as I play now, but I played quite a bit. There wasn't as much video poker back then, really. It was just kind of getting started. But I went between royals, I went 11 years.
Wow.
I honestly went 11 years between royals. When I finally hit my first royal, it wasn't my first royal.
How much did you play?
I played several times a week, but I didn't play professionally. I played for fun. I mean, I played good games only. We were all just learning about good games there. And by the way, this is why I hated Bob Dancer for so long, because every time I'd see him, he'd tell me about another royal flush he hit, you know, and I'd just walk away. I haven't hit one now in 9 years. I haven't hit one in 10 years. When I finally hit one, I was doing an assignment story for one of the gambling magazines, and they wanted me to check out Family Feud. So I was playing Family Feud for nickels, which was short pay on the royal. And after 11 years, I finally hit a royal on nickel short play on Family Feud. It paid $150. All right. So anyway, that was so you can see my history with this game. So in all this time, now I play quite often. I play a lot. I probably play close to every day, one way or another. Certainly not professionally, certainly not for hours at a time, but, you know, at lunchtime or after work on the way home to get beers or whatever it is I do. Everyone knows my MO on this. I finally had my first dealt royal. And I had, there were two coins in.
Two coins.
Yes.
An A and a B. This was a machine that typically requires five coins to get paid the full amount?
Correct. There was not, yes. There was nothing different about this machine or anything. But there was something different about the circumstances, which I'm going to explain.
Please do.
I can tell you this, though. I was playing with a friend of mine who is a bartender. And when she saw me hit the royal, she immediately glanced down. She saw the payout. She's like, something's wrong. She looked and saw I had only two, and she said, don't let anybody see that. Because these were her friends. She was she's a former bartender, and she's like, I don't want anybody to think I'm hanging out with somebody who plays two coins of video poker. So, all right, so here is the reason. All right, and there's
she wants her friends to know she hangs out with somebody who plays at least three coins in video
she
poker.
Wants, she wants a baller, man. She wants a shooter or a baller. She don't want no two coin player. She wants no three wouldn't have been good. She wants full coin. But all right, so here's the deal. I was playing gambler's bonus machine. All right. So a gambler's bonus machine has certain things that go. They have certain side things like their bingo card, right? I mean, or their four of a kind card.
Right, you get all 13 four-of-a-kinds, and you get paid a certain amount.
Right.
And it starts out at a high number, and it goes down quickly, and sometimes you hit it, it bottoms out at maybe $30 or something, but it starts out at 40 or 50,000, something like that.
Yeah, it starts out gigantic, right?
Wait, what makes it go down?
You have to hit... every four of a kind, you have to get all 13 of them, and it'll tell you which ones you have to play left. And if you're playing a quarter machine, you go down much quicker than if you're playing a dollar machine.
So it's like a time thing.
It's time and action. I mean, we don't know what the secret sauce is on this. We just know it's time and action. That so as you play, as you continue to play, you lose, that bonus goes down. And as you get closer to the bonus, it goes down a lot faster. As you get closer to the end, when you only need one to go, it goes down a lot faster. Okay?
So like, to actually hit 50,000, you would need to hit 13 four-of-a-kinds in like 30 minutes or something?
Probably. You know, something not like quite. That. Not quite.
But 1,000 hands, maybe. And they have to be 13 different four-of-a-kinds.
Yeah. Wow.
It's not the same as 13 four-of-a-kinds.
Yeah. So, all right. So here's how this went down. All right. When I go to most of the gambler's bonus bars, the best game is 6-5 bonus poker if you're playing. You know, I play it for quarters for beers. You know, that's what I do. I don't play the bad games for higher money. Okay? But, I mean, it's a real good way to drink. If you want to drink, it comes out to about $1.10 a beer as opposed to about $6.50 a beer. So it's a good way to go.
Depends on how much you're tipping and how fast you're playing.
That's true, obviously, and that's all taken into consideration.
Okay.
All right, so I'm playing on one, and I get through all the way down to the only thing I got left to hit is deuces. All right, and now there's always a secondary card, and you can start knocking them off of that card. And I get the second one down to everything, and these happen quite quickly. And I had deuces and queens left. So a friend of mine says to me, why are you playing? Oh, so the best game there is 6-5 bonus poker, almost always. He says, why are you playing the 6-5 bonus poker? He goes, why don't you play deuces wild? You need deuces. All right, so right off the bat, that makes a whole lot of sense. The deuces wild game.
Oh, wait, it counts on a deuces wild game?
Sure.
Yeah.
The four of a kind?
Not for deuces, four of a kind. It's got to be a straight deuces. You got to make the deuces. You know, a real deuce.
No,
a real
but
four
I mean the other four of a kinds
no,
count?
No.
But because it's the only one you have left.
Yes.
That's, I see.
It can be a five of a kind with one deuce, but it has to be a natural four of a kind.
I see.
Yeah, natural. But he says, but you're more likely to make it because you're holding deuces alone and things like that. Plus the game, the deuces game they have there. It's the 6-5 bonus is 96.87, and the deuces game they have is 96.77. So it's just basically the same thing. So first of all, I switched to deuces. I'm playing deuces, but we're watching this thing, and I got them real fast. So I was way up there, somewhere around 3,000 or 4,000, if I could knock those deuces off. But I'm watching it every time I play. It's going down like gigantically. Boom, boom. Every hand I don't get, it's going down. I go, this is horrible. So I switched to one coin just to experiment. What happens here? It's going down just as fast. One coin's going down just as fast. The same friend of mine, this bartender, goes, try two. She goes, I've watched this. Try two. I put in two coins and played snail pace. Snail, snail, snail. All right? So all of a sudden, I'm saying, okay, I play two coins. I get way more shots at it. and it's going down much more slowly. If I hit it, it's not about hitting the four of a kind with deuces. It's about getting the bonus in the thousands. And now, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I should be divulging this discovery, you know? But I mean, this, and it's not going to come up very often when you're down to the last one, but playing two was the way to go. So I was playing two, trying to hit this thing, and I got a Del Royal.
So you threw it away because you really wanted deuces. Is that right?
No, I kept the Royal. It was okay, but... And I still haven't hit the deuces, by the way. I'm now all the way down to it doesn't matter.
Oh, does this carry over, like the yeah. next time you go in the bar?
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. And in different bars, wherever you're on the system, you can do that. So whenever I would run into a gambler's bonus, I'm playing two coins. Now I'm not, because I'm down to, like, if I hit it, I'm going to make, like, $30 or something like that. So it doesn't matter anymore.
There's discussion among sharp players as to whether it ever makes sense to throw the whole card away. In other words, you only get $30 if you get that last four of a kind, but you can throw the card away, start with 40 or 50,000, whatever that top number is, and you're needing all 13 of them. When I played, which I played heavily back when they had very positive games, significantly better than 6-5 bonus, I always played it down to the end and did not take that into consideration. But there were,
so do I.
But there were people who, players who I respect, video poker players, who go, if it gets below, blah, 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 he throws it away.
What's the very lowest it can go?
About $30 or $40, something.
No, no, heck, are you kidding? The last one I hit, I got $11. Oh. Yeah, I'm pretty sure, I think it probably stops at 10. I don't think I've seen it below 10. But trust me, I've gotten down to under 15 several times. I don't hit things. I don't know why. I don't hit things. as you're starting to find out.
So,
Yeah, there's a lot of, you know what? There's a lot of interesting things about these bar games and their slot clubs and the things that you can find on these. I've found many, many opportunities in bars. And we're actually going to do a page on it in LVA. They change constantly. I mean, I can tell you two bars right now that today, and I will tell you what those bars are. On Saturdays, play 500 and you get $50 in free play.
15, again, 15 or 50?
50. 50. Play 500 and get 50 in free play. There's,
wow.
One of them is called Jackpot, and that's on Saturdays. And one of them is called Goat, and that's on Sundays. Jackpot has a 7-5 bonus poker. The other, the best, is 6-5. We've run it through. Basically, it's a $23 play. You can get through it in, you know, 35 minutes, or, you know, if you want to play dollars or $2, get through it in 5 minutes.
You also get lunch and beer. And
you get beers. You know, you don't get lunch, but you get beers, and it's just great. It's sports. There's beers. There's, you know, and you're getting a $23 play. It's great. It's fun. So I like to do fun things.
I don't want to make you, you know, throw up in your mouth or anything, but I really don't remember any of these kinds of things. I have no idea how many times I've hit a Delt Royal. I mean, it may only be one, but I do know one, which I know was my first one, and it was $5 three play online.
Jeez. So Delt.
$60,000.
$60,000, yeah.
Did you hold it?
I did hold it, yeah.
And you got paid.
And I got paid, yeah. So
I got $125. Okay.
And you got paid.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Wait, no, this was online. I think they were four-play machines online, not three-play. So
congratulations.
Yeah. Good. Yeah, well, I'm long time ago.
I'm very, very happy for you.
Yeah. Believe me, I'm happy online gambling is coming back.
Be careful. If you keep bragging like that, Anthony's going to be mad at you.
Well, I mean, I think the point is this, you know, even bringing up what Richard brings up right now, the opportunities show up all over the place. You know, back in those days of online gambling and some of the things I think we're going to see going forward, you're going to find opportunities. You know, like I say, in the bars, you find opportunities. I mean, a lot of these are casual beer drinking things. I go out with my friends who are also players, and, you know, we hang out and we know we're playing with an edge and we love it. You know, otherwise you don't want to sit there. Even if you're getting beers for less money, you don't like playing without an edge. It's not fun. But this is fun. So, you know.
Is it more important to be a player who likes to drink or a drinker who likes to play? Which is more important?
Absolutely the first.
Yeah.
without question. The other one's very dangerous. Very dangerous. I've dated several.
Uh-huh. Good. All right. So in the LVA in December, which has been out about a week now, one of the things you have is a blueprint for cashing weekly football contests. What was that all about?
This is a specific one that was different this year. You know, every year they have the football contests, and I think I'm usually on your show, sometimes with Frank B, and we talk about things like the contests and all. We typically talk about the big contests, which ones we think are the best and are structured right and everything else. And then we talk a little bit about the weeklies, as I call them, things that you can play when you come to town. The best one is the most fun one is the Pick the Pros that's been running for years. You can win up to $30,000. You get one free play at it. And in a contest like that, you have to play wildly. You have to go for a giant upset or two. Otherwise, you're going to split that prize with 150 other players. And, you know, you're going to end up, sure, you're going to end up with, you know, $100, but it's not what you're going for in something like that. Some of these weeklies are different. There's different ways to play it. And one of the most interesting ones that came out is called Beat the Bookie. It's at Rampart. So you only have to beat one person there to get paid, and that is the Rampart lines maker who makes his own card. I've been playing it since the start of the year. And
do you know what's on his card?
No, you don't know what's on his card, but you might as well know because he plays it. The bookie plays it very close to the vest, meaning he picks almost all the favorites. So you need to beat him in coin flips, or you need to pick one significant upset, but not a gigantic upset. So, example, you wouldn't take the Jets against the Patriots, but you may take something like the Titans against the Texans. You know, that kind of thing where you're talking about a 2 or 3 point difference. If you can nail
it. Titans against the Texans is more than 2 or 3 points.
Not if it's in Tennessee. So, you know, what I mean is, like, you're going to get a small spread in a game like that. You find a game with a small spread. Okay. Giants and Eagles. Okay. You know what I'm saying. You don't go for a giant one.
Pick the Cowboys against the Saints.
That would be a wrong play in this game, but it would have worked out very, very well. Yes. Now, it's just it's another fun one. All right. So, I mean, I think that we've seen, because you're also going to be splitting, you are in essence playing against a lot of other players, because everyone who beats the bookie, they split $2,000. And the highest it's ever been per player on a week is only $80. That's the highest it's ever been. So you're getting, you know, $10 to $20 or something like that. But I'm telling you, just like making an $11 bet when you're watching a game, you get excited for a lousy $11, or your girlfriend does, or your wife does, or whatever. It's fun to have a chance to win a contest. It just really is. And you find yourself watching that darn card, you know, when you're doing well all the way through. What makes this contest really cool, though, is that, again, if you follow the bookie's way, you play, when he loses, when you lose, he's going to lose too. So you've only, you know, you play mostly, almost all of the favorites, and then you pick one or two close differences and you root for those two games. And you're probably going to cash. The minimum you'll get is $5 a week, but, you know, you might get more. So we like to find small edges, you know.
But of course, if he wins the coin flips, you get zero.
That's true. But I mean, still,
that has to happen half the time.
But if you play it, I left out one gigantic thing that makes this very important. If you tie the bookie, you lose. That's why you have to deviate, right? See, because if you play it straight, you know, the way to play it would be, if all you got to do is get the most, you want to play the favorites all the way down the line. That's what you do, you know? You play this, you know.
So he only picks the favorites?
Not always, but almost always. Yeah. All right? So once in a while, he deviates and he goes off, but he's very close to down the line. So you can't, that's the point. You can't just play all the favorites or, you know, only one coin flip. If they're close, you got to play a couple coin flips, because if you tie him, you lose. So you've got, again, with every kind of tournament or contest, you need variance to win. So you got to create variance here. What's fun, though, is that you only have to create a little bit of variance as opposed to the big tournaments.
Well, if he's going to make one or two deviations from chalk, then you could bet chalk.
He doesn't typically do that. He typically bets chalk right down the line. He typically does it. Once in a while, he throws one out there, but he typically bets chalk, which is, if you told me you have to bet it and you're playing against everybody, I would pretty much bet chalk right down the line, unless I knew everybody knew I was going to do that. Because he wants to push as many guys as he can, because he wins pushes. So there's very, very little variation in that.
But it doesn't matter to him. I mean, the casino's giving away $2,000.
Yeah,
or whatever it is.
He's got his pride. Yeah, he's got his pride. He wants to do as well as he can. He wants to lose to as few people as possible. It's a fun tournament. Look, anytime the casinos do something that is clever, I like that. You know, we're always bashing on casinos. We're always like, you guys are bad and whatever. Whenever they do something that's fun and clever and they're giving money away. Now, one more thing. People who would play this, I will tell you this. They're very stingy about the redemption. The redemption period, I beat the bookie a couple of times figuring I would just go onto my card. I didn't go in, and I found out that you have to redeem between Tuesday noon and Friday midnight the week of the game. Otherwise, it goes into the ether. So, all right, so you got to, if people are visiting, don't even bother going all the way up to Rampart if you can't get back there or you don't want to go all the way back. But for people who are in town, it's a fun thing to do.
If you live in that, if you live in the Summerlin area or you live in the, in that area.
Or it's, so. You know, it's easy to get there. Everybody's like, it's so far away. It's not far away. You know, I mean, it's really easy going up the freeway or whatever. You can get there really fast. It's right off the 94 and, you know, see, it's easy to do. Same thing as like if you want to go all the way down to
94. Is that what they call the Summerlin Parkway? Is that 94?
Well, it comes off 94 to Reno. And then you jump onto the Summerlin Parkway.
95, isn't it?
Is it 95? All right, I'm sorry, 95.
Yeah, but then the Summerlin Parkway. I don't even know what the number is
I
for Summerlin
I think 95
Park.
Runs right by it, I think. No, you got to get on Summerlin Parkway?
Yes.
Okay. All right, it's still easy. You just,
yeah,
you know, you
it's
exit
not hard,
on
but it's...
But it's the same thing as when you go to Lake Henderson. You know, people always go, we have like the best shrimp cocktail in town is at the Skyline. It really is. That's just went up a quarter. It's two and a quarter now. But forever it was $1.25. Then it was $2. Now it's $2.25. And it's great. It's absolutely great. And they go, why would I want to go all the way there? It's because it's not that hard. You go to 215 and, well, you know,
really
and you're there.
Really easy for me. I live out in that direction.
But the same guy wouldn't go to Rampart and the Skyline unless he just doesn't mind spinning his wheels.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you know, we're talking about, look, when I'm on the show, often we're talking about touristy things, right? And yes. We're talking about fun things to do. And what do you do when you're tooling around in the afternoon or in the evening, you got nothing to do? I'm just saying these are kind of cool things that show up.
All right. So in a couple of years, the Raiders are going to be here if they haven't given away all their players by then, which they do seem to be doing. Mm. Driving on the 15, you can definitely see the stadium going up. What's the status of that?
It's pretty cool to look at, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's going up fast.
It really is. We just did something about this in the current LVA that just came out, and it is, they are, I think, 30% through the budget. So it's one third done, if you look at it that way. They're at 50% for the height of the stadium. So what you're seeing right now is about 50%. So they're halfway through if you look at it that way. Either way, they're no more than halfway there right now. But it's really starting to take shape. And it's pretty awesome to look at. When you really look at it with all those cranes going up and you look at it and picture it at double the size and start to think about what it's going to be like on game day. I mean, it's going to be crazy. Nobody's going to want to go around there because of the traffic and all. But this, it's going to really, the town's really going to hum, right? Every, you know, 2 or 3 weeks when there's a game.
Have they solved the parking problem yet?
Not really. I mean, parking is going to be a concern. They've put up, they've secured areas for 3 to 5 mobile parking lots. I can't remember what the number is because they're always switching it around. One of them is like at the Orleans, the surface area at the Orleans. The others are just like big giant, fields and dirt lots that are huge. But I think it only covers.
Aren't they trying to get the Bally High Golf Course?
I don't think that's on the table. I don't think, I mean, there was a lot of talk about that, but I don't think that's going to happen. What's going to happen is there's going to be a lot of remote. Even farther away, there's going to be shuttles and things. That's what it's going to have to be. They just can't do it. They just can't get enough surface parking or build a structure that's going to be big enough on the land that they secured for this. So I think there's going to be a lot. I remember years ago, I went to a game. I won in a bar, fooling around, right? I won tickets to see the Chargers play. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't believe it when I went down to
San Diego.
In San Diego. And I couldn't believe it that there was just nowhere to park near the stadium, and you had to park miles, 20 miles away, and take their trains, their in-city trains to get there. So it's going to be a model, I think, a version, something like that, at least in the beginning, where there's going to be places you can park and take shuttles in. And I'm sure that lots of bars will have things in that, but that's not going to handle the general populace here. So it's going to be a little funky to begin with while they're getting it going. But, you know, where there's a will, there's a way. They'll figure it out.
Good time to be an Uber driver, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, Uber's going to be the way to go. You know, Ubers and cabs and things like that. We said that a long time ago for Golden Knights games. If you can get a friend to drop you and pick you up, that's the best, or Uber it. You know, that's just a great way to go.
All right, but when the stadium holds 80,000 or whatever the number is going to be. That's a lot of Uber cars.
Yeah, it is.
Well, but they also have time, right? I mean, you know, it's they're what, 2 years away?
Pretty much, yeah, so 2020.
They should have time to figure this out before.
There'll be more solutions. You know, they're working on the monorail. They're working on making the monorail go in that direction. You know, there'll be things. There'll be other things. Look, there's people are going to be able to hoof it. It's close to the strip. You know, it's the same thing again, going to the Golden Knights game. The absolute best play at the Golden Knights is park at Tropicana, which Tropicana has just changed that now. Now during Golden Knights games, they're going to start charging because they got clever to that one. But you can still park at Hooters. You can still park at Wild Wild West. People don't think about Wild Wild West because you've got to walk back over the freeway. But distance-wise, it's the same thing as parking at the Trop. It's the same walk, about 20 minutes. So, you know, this is going to be the same thing. You're going to be able to walk from a lot of South Strip destinations and things like that. There's going to be some creative ways to get there. It's going to be very interesting to see.
Interesting. And it may make it worthwhile to become whatever level there is at MGM Properties or Caesar's property and get free parking.
Yeah, that whole thing about, you know, get the credit card and get free parking. I don't know why everybody doesn't do that. You know, that's strong. That's just a real strong play.
Well, because that counts as one credit card, and they limit you to the number of good credit cards you can have on. So
who does?
Credit
cards.
Well,
the banks now. It used to be you could, you know, have a million cards, and now all the banks are cracking down on that. So, but if you're a local and you go to the Strip, then I absolutely agree with you that, you know, I mean, most of the locals I know don't go to the Strip, but yeah, if you're going to go to hockey games and you're going to go to football games, absolutely you should get that credit card.
Yeah, there's some differences of opinion for sure, too. You know, I mean, we're getting a little bit into the credit card game on LasVegasAdvisor.com, and we've had some experts write some articles about it that take issue with some of these ideas about what you can do with cards and not do. So all those are up on the site. There's some good reads there. Lou Antonius wrote them. They're some good articles.
Very good. All right, we're going to take a brief commercial break. We're talking.
We should just mention his column is on the Vegas with an Edge site, not Gambling with an Edge.
Right.
Site.
Well, both of these, you know, obviously ours, yours, Gambling with an Edge is on LasVegasAdvisor.com, and Vegas with an Edge is non-gambling subjects, pretty much on LasVegasAdvisor.com. So they'll go to LasVegasAdvisor.com. You'll find all of them.
Yeah. So now Jimmy Jazz writes on this subject to credit cards. Is he on the which site is he on?
He writes on both sites. He goes back and forth depending on what he's doing and what he's talking about. He's a kind of like a sort of a semi guest blogger for us, but he writes on both sections.
Uh-huh. All right. So we'll return to Anthony Curtis shortly. The South Point has more than 10,000 games returning more than 99%. This is more than anyone else has. In December, the South Point is running its usual half price for almost everything when you use your points, starting as soon as the NFR rodeo is over until Christmas Eve. This year it begins Sunday, December 16th, and goes through Monday, December 24th. If you pay for your points, almost everything is half off. Also, on Christmas Day, December 25th, there'll be double points for video poker players. Penny slot players get 10 times points, and other slots get 5 times points. Keep in mind the base point structure is 0.30%, so double points at the South Point is equivalent to 6 times points at most other local casinos. Every Monday is Seniors Day, half-price meals and bingo if you use your points, and there's a free senior slot tournament. Actually, I'm not sure that last part is true. Last time I was in the casino, the area where they had the free tournament was something else. So right now, I'm not sure if they've moved the tournament or they've eliminated that. The new semester of free video poker classes will begin on Tuesday, January 8th, noon. If you're planning on being in Vegas early next year and are interested, check out the schedule on bobdancer.com. Auto Slash. Richard, why don't you tell us about good things that can happen when you have Auto Slash?
All right, here's what you need to know about Auto Slash. Number one, Bob and I have both been using it for years, long before they were a sponsor of the show. The average person saves 30% over other car rental sites. When you go there, they have this list of checkboxes for anything where there might be a coupon or a promo that applies to you. So it'll say, do you have a Discover card? Do you have a Costco membership? So they will find any of the coupons or discounts that apply to you. If you book the car through them, they'll offer you a cash price if you want to pay for it now. The last car I rented, when it offered me that, the discount was 17%. You can still cancel that if you get a better price later. And here's the most important thing, and that is their tracker. So after you reserve a car, whether you reserve it at another site or through them, you put that reservation in the tracker, and any time between then and the time that you pick up the car, if they find a lower price, you get an email that says, hey, we found a lower price, and you can just then, with a click, you can go and reserve the new car. You put it back in the tracker, and every time that it goes down, you'll get another email. And I've had great success using that. So, yeah, autoslash.com. Check them out. Oh, and most importantly, it's free.
At videopoker.com, it's the best place to play lots of games. If you sign up for the gold membership, $8.95 a month or $79.95 a year, this allows you to get correction on most of the games. Between now and the end of the year, our listeners who have never been a gold member get 30 days of gold for free. You can sign up for it at videopoker.com/GWAE. The game of the week is Stack the Deck. This is a 7 coins per line game. We're on dealt trips, quads, full houses, and four to the royal. You receive from 3 to 5 cards of the exact card you need to make your hand. That is, and this depends on game type, if you're dealt 3-3-3-6-6, you usually you keep all 5 cards. But were you to throw away the 2 sixes, you would have one chance in 23.5 to get the 4th 3, or 2 chances out of 47. However, they are going to add 5 additional 3s to the deck. So now there's a lot more chances, and you get plenty of chances for quads, 5 of a kind, and quads with a kicker. So you can have 2-3 of hearts in the same hand for 5 of a kinds. They have extra pay schedules for 5 of a kind, even on non-wildcard games, and also Baby Royal, which is king through 9 of the same suit. Since the game is affixed at 7 coins, sometimes they have to change the pay schedule to make the game within acceptable bounds. That is, 9-6-4 double-double bonus, which returns a tick under 99% normally. The version of Stack the Deck that corresponds to that is 10-7-5. So it returns about the same, but you get more for the flush, more for the more for the full house, more for the flush, more for the straight. So this gives you an entirely new strategy to learn that is good only for this game. All right, we are back with Anthony Curtis.
Baby Royal?
Baby Royal, they call it. King through 9.
I could do that.
I thought Baby Royal was when you only bet 2 coins.
that's what I was thinking, Baby Royal.
And then you come on the other people's podcasts and say, this was really a smart play. Can you imagine some people do that? All right. Eating Las Vegas. This book has been out several years now. So they have a new edition of it?
Yeah, 7th edition. Back from the printer any day now. So it'll be back from the printer first week in December. And we were going to actually... This is our food book, all right? This is our, you know...
I love this book.
Yeah.
I get it every year. My kids love it. They love going through the book, checking these places
out. It's one of the favorite books that we've ever published. You know, of all the great... You know, authors I've had and great gambling books and stuff. You know, we do I mean, Huntington Press, we do the best blackjack books in the world. We do the best video poker books in the world, you know, thanks to both of you guys who, you know, have both been our authors. But I love this book. It's so cool. I love doing it. The photos inside, they call it food porn. That's like in the industry, they call it food porn. And those are the pictures that they put inside. Cause you just look at it and go, geez, I got to eat there, you know? So we were going to wait and do a really big revamp, a new edition in 2020. But six places that were in what we call the essential 52 restaurants, closed, and six new ones are in. And we just decided to make it a new edition. So it's a good book. It's cool.
Yeah. The thing I like about the book is all the places off the strip. And if you're a tourist, I highly recommend that you get off the strip, you know.
Yeah.
There are a lot of great sort of name chefs and all that on the strip, but a lot of really cool places.
Well, there's a lot of good reasons to get off the strip and eat, and one of them is no parking charges, you know? I mean, there are some great restaurants that I have not and will not eat at the strip because I'm like one of those locals that doesn't want to pay for parking. I just don't want to do it. And I find myself avoiding really good opportunities because I just don't want to pay for parking. So you get a lot of these places. The other thing that's cool about eating Las Vegas is the author, John Curtis, relation to me. He's Curtis with an A-A-S, is very irreverent. He's not afraid about who he offends. And one of the things in the book is called Las Vegas's Bottom 10. So everybody does a top 10. And it's all the places that we all love and hear about, like Pam.
Oh, yeah, I
don't agree. I do,
like the
too.
Italian-American Club. I love that place.
I know. He's got the Italian-American Club. He's got Pamplemousse. He's got
Bob Taylor's Ranch House.
Yeah, exactly. And Golden Steer.
Yeah.
I mean, these are all the places with all this atmosphere and everything else. I disagree with them, too. I love going. I just ate at Pamplemousse the other day. So, I mean, I like it. But the thing is, he's honest. He's not here to, you know, get his tail pet or wagged, however you say that. I don't know, you know. So it's, yeah, all right, we can get off that book.
While we're on that, any new place that was in the book that you discovered because of the book that you were like, oh, wow, like this place is great?
Yeah, three places, man. There are three places that we've written about, two of them recently in LVA. One's called Pamplona. Most of them, all three of these are tapas places. And I mean, I guess that's the new way, but one's called Pamplona. It's tapas. It's on all three are on the west side, of course. That's where everything is. Another one called Mordeo, which is one of the best meals I've had in I don't know how long. Much more expensive. That one's in the Chinatown area on Spring Mountain. And the third one's called Edo, E-D-O. And it's another tapas place of the three that's like my least favorite. But this Mordeo is absolutely fantastic. It's like the new cool hip place to go in town.
And what kind of food is it? I mean, it's, you said it's tapas, is it Spanish?
It's Spanish mixed with an Asian influence because The chef is this guy, Kai Vu, who also does District 1, a really great Vietnamese restaurant. Kai is Vietnamese. So there's a lot of Vietnamese-French influence in his cooking. And he's got Le Pho downtown and District 1 over here in Chinatown. And he's the chef behind this. It's fabulous food, man. Really, really good. Best patatas bravas I've ever had, which is a Spanish dish, potato dish. I've never had it better than this. I eat it every time I try a tapas place. That's kind of like the benchmark. This is the best I've ever had.
I will check it out.
Now, the EDO place, all crossword puzzles players know that EDO is the former name for Tokyo. Does it have a Japanese influence to it?
I believe there is an Oriental. So I didn't put that together. I've never remembered filling out a crossword puzzle in my life. So I don't know that.
But too busy playing two coin royals.
trying to get a 0.175 edge on the casino bar.
That's why I keep screwing up. I thought you were supposed to put the numbers 1 through 9 in those boxes.
Here's the worst crossword puzzle answer I ever saw. Picked it up once. A roommate of mine was doing a crossword puzzle, and the clue was tick tick tack, and he wrote tock. Tick tack tock.
So TOC rather than TOE.
I think it was just his handwriting.
No, it was tock. It was definitely tock.
It's Are you going to mention Blair's name, or is this somebody else?
No, it was someone else. This is a long time ago.
All right. We have a couple questions from our listeners, And we're going to let Anthony have a shot at him if he has anything to say. The first one is a blackjack bet called Top 3 that he does not know this is coming. But it's a side bet on the player's two cards and the dealer's up card. The listener looked over AP Heat and the 888 Casino site and was unable to find any material on it. He wants to know if there's any advantage to playing it.
I've never heard of the game.
Is that the one where it's like three-card poker, but you're using your two cards and the dealer's up card?
Well, you get paid for three-of-a-kind suited, you get paid for straight flushes, and you get paid for three-of-a-kind unsuited. And then
I have not heard of it, and I try to stay up on these things. In fact, I go every year, I go to something called the Table Games Conference, is what they call it. And it's filled with new games. And, you know, you walk around, you look at them, and there's game developers everywhere. A couple years ago, we did a book called The Essentials of Casino Game Design. So I really got into the process there. All I can say is that it is in the old days, by the old days, I mean 2 decades ago, 20 years ago, and a little bit inside of that, a new game would come out, and we'd always look at it, wouldn't we, Richard? I mean, we'd jump all over it, and we would look at these new games, and you would quite often find vulnerabilities. What's changed in those 2 decades is that enough of those games got beat up sufficiently that they began to understand, the game developers began to understand that they needed really solid math on this.
Well, some of them.
Yeah.
Some of them. There's still new games that get beat up.
Agree.
All the time.
Agree. But for the most part, anything that's really goes mainstream, it seems to me that they're pretty solid. And not only are they solid against any sort of basic strategy or any fundamental weakness, but they're very solid against card counting type of, you know, like you can amend a count to do almost anything you wanted to do. When over-under bet came out in blackjack, there was a whole different count for the over-under than you would use in a regular blackjack game to try to get an edge in a standard fashion. So a lot of different card counting techniques are considered and looked at in games like this. And I would say you would be an underdog, certainly a serious underdog, to find a beatable game in a side bet these days. Would you agree with that?
No. Actually, a lot of the side bets are beatable. But the problem with them is that the limits are always so low that for serious professionals, often they're just not interested in them because the amount of money you can make playing them is...
Really? You would say that you could find more that are beatable than not that are coming out these days? Even to a small degree?
I would say there are a lot of opportunities on side bets out there, yeah.
Surprise.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I don't want to say too much, but I would say the places where the pros are looking are places where you can bet more than a maximum of $25 on the side bet.
Yeah. So. Well, it's interesting because everybody that I talk to now with new games, when I talk to them about who their math guys are, they're always the top guys. And, you know, guys that I would talk to and say, well, what about this and that? They're like, no, it's considered. It's been considered. So I guess I'm just talking about some of the guys that go to the mainstream, math
people. Well, yeah, and guys who are inventing games here, right?
So, you're talking about all around.
People are inventing games all over the world. So, and some of them make their ways to, you know, casinos
Well, some of the stuff you're finding in Oklahoma and California card rooms and all that. I mean, yeah, that's a little bit different sometimes for sure.
Now, our listener mentioned the AP Heat and 888. He did not talk about the Wizard of Odds site. And the Wizard of Odds analyzes a lot of these games and gives numbers, frequently not how to beat them. But the... on this particular game, it's usually found that there is a 21+3 side bet that you also must bet before you're allowed to bet the top three bet. And the 21+3 has lots of different versions. The version that
that's the one that's like three card poker.
The player meant in his email was 3.2% against the player. So you have to play two different side bets, and there's going to be two different counts associated with it, it's unlikely you're going to find an itch.
Yeah, all I know is that I don't think you're going to find things very rarely as easily. It's like when Over-Under came out. When Over-Under came out, I mean, everybody was traveling and finding those games where you could play it for a single deck and all that. You used a completely different count. You didn't care about the regular bet, and you were betting the max on the side bet. And now I know people who are finding those games these days overseas and in different foreign countries and so on, but, you know, it just got killed and gone in the United States.
All right, different question. What books would you recommend to somebody who really was willing to put in the study time to develop expertise in sports betting? Now, I have no knowledge of this whatsoever. I'm guessing this is not Richard's field, but Anthony,
do know one book. There's a really good book on betting baseball called The Book. There are three authors. One of them is, you know, Mickey Lickman. But that's the only book I've heard about that's supposed to be really good.
Well, finally, you gave me something that I'm not all nervous to answer. Thank you. I appreciate this. But, you know, the funny thing about sports betting, all right, it's a beatable game, right? Obviously, sports betting is absolutely beatable. We know a lot of pros. But it's really one of the hardest things to beat because it's not black and white usually, the way blackjack is. You know, I mean, you know, if you're playing properly, that you are going to get the money in a game like blackjack. There's so much nuance in sports betting, and there are very few. I don't know the book. I mean, I just wrote it down. You know, I don't know that book. But I'm sure there are some underground stuff. You know, there are lots of guys that used to write. Remember Huey Mall? There was a guy named Huey Mall years and years ago. And Huey was kind of strange in some ways. He wrote for Sports Forum, which is now Gaming Today. But he was way ahead of his time in a lot of different areas. And there are a lot of guys who understood sports back then and who wrote an article here and there. But there were no really great books on sports betting. That's what I'm trying to remedy right now. I've got several books. Huntington Press has several books in the works by really solid guys with solid concepts in sports betting. This is a game to beat the game. You've got to play the game a long time. Again, the nuance of betting sports and winning at sports can get really deep. But I would say there are two books on the market right now, both published by Pi Press, of all places. That's Stanford Wong's. Wong is kind of moving out of the business. There's a good chance that Wong's stuff is going to be folded into Huntington Press. I may eventually be publishing these books, which would be cool because I would be publishing Professional Blackjack, you know, one of my heroes, one of the books I grew up on coming up. But one of is the book that Wong wrote called Sharp Sports Betting. There is a lot of good, solid information in that. The problem with sharp sports betting is that times have changed and some of the things that are in there are no longer as valid as they used to be. But I would say reading Sharp Sports Betting is a very, very good place to start. If we get that book, we will update it. We'll go through it and bring back up to date everything that's kind of changed since then. One of the things in there that now a lot of people call them Wong teasers, all right, a certain way to bet teasers. That everyone thinks teasers are a sucker bet. Not really. You know, if you do it right, teasers can be very strong in your arsenal. But so that's number one.
Wong's book is worth picking up just for the teaser chapter.
Yeah. It really is. His teaser information is still valid. You know, basically it's betting teasers through the key numbers of 3 and 7. And there are certain rules, do it this way, not that way. And it's really worth reading. Also, a lot of the preliminary advice, the beginner's advice, the fundamental advice is still real strong in Wong's book. Wong's always been good at things like that, is, you know, the solid basics, getting them down. The other one is by a guy named King Yao. It's called Weighing the Odds in Sports Betting. And King took Wong's stuff, went a little bit farther with that. It's a little more technical. That book's currently out of print. It's hard to find. But if we take it over, we'll definitely bring that back. So those right now, the only two books, I mean, the book that you just mentioned, The Book on Baseball, maybe. I haven't seen it. But I would absolutely say you can't go wrong picking up beginning nuggets from Sharp Sports Betting and Weighing the Odds. The book that's going to come out that's going to be everything that this reader asked for is in being written right now. We're getting close to finishing it. It's being done by Blair Rodman. Blair's a guy who wrote Kill Phil, which was a beginner's book on tournament poker, which many people hailed as the best book ever for beginning tournament poker players. Blair knows how to write for beginners. Blair also worked with a professional sports betting group for years that won something like $4 or $5 million. He really knows his stuff, and he's writing this beginner's book for us.
Yeah, one thing that to be pointed out is that just like blackjack, learning how to count cards is only half of it. Learning how to get the money out of a casino is the other half, and it's every bit as important and every bit as difficult as the learning how to count cards. And the same thing is true with sports betting.
Yeah. I always said, when people ask me, or if I'm on a radio, unsophisticated radio, where they ask me about blackjack, you guys understand, our listeners probably understand, but I always say, there's science and there's art, you know? And if you know the science, you can do the science in a vacuum very easily, but you can't necessarily win at the game if you don't know the art of being able to do it.
Yeah.
Especially since the art is different for every player, because if all these artful players were doing the same thing, the casino could pick it off really quickly. So
yeah,
actually, that's a book that needs to be written, right? That'd be I don't bet sports, but I'd be fascinated to read a book by somebody who could talk about how to take the money off. Like Billy Walters would be the best guy, right?
But yeah. We've got one or two that touch on that pretty, not just touch on that, they get into that. And I mean, we're doing the same thing for your listeners. You know, we've got two blackjack books coming out too, very soon, like within 6 months. One of them's called The Blackjack Insiders by Andy Ewell. And he's a former pit boss who quit his job to become a blackjack player. The whole idea being he knows what they're looking for from his side of the table. And so that's woven through the book as it's done. The other one is called The 21st Century Card Counter. Now that gets into, this is by Colin Jones. All right. You know, Colin.
Yes. And he's been on the show too.
Yeah. So that gets into the differences of how you play this game. Like, do you, that whole thing, do you milk the cow or do you slaughter the cow? You know, that sort of thing. Well, you know, there are books on Burning the Tables in Las Vegas, or the original Turning the Tables in Las Vegas, about how to get away with it. And using cover plays and all, Ian Anderson wrote both books. This is about, don't worry about it. Go get it. Go get the money. Burn the game. Burn it out. It's a whole different way of thinking. And I mean, I never played that way, and I don't think you did, Richard. You know, but
at different times I did different things. Yeah. I mean, depending on whether I thought the game would last or whatever. Also, remember, I was not for the vast majority of my career, I was not counting cards, so I was doing things that the casino didn't understand. So, yeah, we definitely were not just going to slash and burn, because right, we could just keep milking as long as we wanted.
Because the other players didn't understand it either.
No. Yeah.
See, that's the interesting thing, though. When you get into high-level gambling, that, you know, people say, well, card counting. Well, you know, guys like your co-host here, Richard Munchkin, they're like, who wastes time with that? You know?
But you know, I have to say, we've had several guests in the last year or two, I mean several, that have gone out and made $1 million just counting cards, slashing and burning, put it in their face until they throw you out and move down to the next.
See, that's what's really interesting. I know you're defending that card counting still works, and it does. I agree. You know, there's games all over the place that you can beat if you've got the patience and the temperament for that kind of thing.
The temperament. That's the thing.
Right.
You got to live on the road and be willing to, you know, have them treat you like you're a criminal and sometimes get handcuffed and all that stuff.
Damn,
you know?
Fun when you're in your 20s and 30s, I can tell you.
Yeah.
Damn fun. Not so much afterwards. Yeah. That's not so cool. But I mean, almost everybody from listening to your show and people that I know now says there's too many games in too many places, and don't waste time blowing off portions of your edge by making cover plays and things like that. Just go get the money. And I got to say, if I were to do it over again or now, I would play that way, I think.
All right. We've been talking to Anthony Curtis, publisher, Las Vegas advisor, Huntington Press. Always plenty of good stuff. And next time you're Delta 2 Coin Royal, we want you to come on again. should be happening another 24 years. thank you a lot, Anthony.
Pleasure, guys.
Thank you, Richard. Go out and hit Royal Flush, everybody. Good day.